Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back, 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. Karen Harned is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Karen is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a longtime friend of ours. She is Executive Director of the NFIB's Legal Foundation. And she's here to talk to us about a topic that you've heard me get my righteous indignation up about over the years. And that's this the issue of the right of eminent domain. And I've written about this. Some of you who subscribe to my newsletter have seen this in my newsletter. If you read my newspaper column, you saw the article I wrote about this. I've been talking about this for a long time. We haven't talked about it for a while because it hasn't. It's sort of been, at least in my radar screen, hasn't been popping up that much. But there's some new cases coming up that that could become not really good precedents for you and me. And Karen's here to talk to us about that. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim, for having me. It's great to be back.
Karen, in 2005, there was a case called Kelo versus New London that went to the Supreme Court. And the lady's name was Wilhelmina Derry, and she lived in the same house on Walbach Street her whole life. She was born in that house. She got married. Her husband moved into that house with her. She lived in that house for something like 80-something years. Mm-hmm. And that's the house that was under assault. By the way, she was born in that house in 1918. And that house is in the neighborhood the city of New London wanted to condemn and take away from these homeowners, and some of them were businesses. There was one business, what I remember, Karen. One business was a sub shop, a sandwich shop, a small business, and there was a cleaners, a dry cleaners, I think, also in this little neighborhood that were under assault by the New London, Connecticut. And they were going to take this community, these people's property away from them to build a commercial structure. Not a highway, not a bridge, but a commercial structure, right?
That is exactly right.
And they took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of New London, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And they said, you know, basically that it was not presumptively wrong for a city to exercise its eminent domain power to transfer property from one private property owner to another private property owner, not for a public use. They did, however, say that states could limit this authority as they so chose to do so. And so the good news since Kelo has been we've seen a lot of state legislatures impose really strict limitations on when eminent domain authority can be used.
The good news, the good news is because of your work and people like me who were getting the word out, the word got to governors and legislatures around the country that through their constituents, hey guys, we don't want our state we want our state to protect our residents from this abuse of eminent domain.
That is right. The problem, of course, though, is you still got some mischief going on around there, and that's what we're getting involved in right now in Missouri. Missouri actually has been a really problem state in this in eminent domain since 98 to 2003. It's condemned at least 13 properties for transfer to private owners, and more than 400 properties have been threatened with the use of eminent domain for private projects. And in this case, Dr. Homer Tukakis has owned his dental clinic for 21 years. He had the foresight to pick a great piece of land on the corner of Interstate 55 and Highway 141 in the city of Arnold, which is just a suburb of St. Louis, I believe.
An unincorporated suburb.
Yes, it is not chartered, right. It's not constitutionally chartered, which is important in this case. He has about 7,600 patients. His business location is critical, yet the city of Arnold said they want to, you know, declare his part blighted and give the property for development of something called Arnold Commons, which would include an Office Depot, a Lowe's, and Deerberg's, and so this has been a real problem because Mr. Dukakis is fighting for his business and does not believe it's appropriate, as he should not believe it's appropriate for, you know, the city of Arnold to exercise their public or eminent domain authority for a private use like this. And in this particular state in Missouri, only those cities that are considered constitutionally chartered, of which there's only like five or six, like the big cities, Kansas City, Missouri, are allowed to even use eminent domain at all. And so that's what this case is about, is to make sure these other little communities cannot use eminent domain power, because that's what the Missouri Constitution says. They can't.
Right, right. Now, I think it's important probably to help folks out a little bit, Karen, to point out that eminent domain, the right of eminent domain and any kind of protection you have under that as a citizen is found in a little bitty, very short little passage in the Fifth Amendment. You've heard of the Fifth before. You've heard of the term, I take the Fifth, meaning I don't have to testify in a way that would incriminate me, et cetera, et cetera. Well, at the very last words of the Fifth Amendment says this: Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now that's called the Takings Clause, right, Karen?
That's correct.
And the Takings Clause over the last 200 years, especially the last 100 years, has typically been interpreted to mean that eminent domain would be for purposes of the common good. And in the definition, really, between the arguments between what is common good, is a definition for common good or for common use? I should say public good or public use.
And that's where the cities have gotten really creative, and they've, you know, obviously it's a highway is a public use, a school is a public use, things like that. But now they're saying, well, we've got this area over here, it's really dilapidated and just, you know, not a good part of the community. Now we're going to say public use includes economic development.
Yeah, and that's the issue we're fighting right now. That's the current contemporary argument, folks, is being made. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Karen Hardin, and she's going to give us an idea about what the NFIB is doing to help these people. 20 after. Stay with us.
This is Douglas Campbell for the Success Coach, thesuccesscoach.com. Congratulations on turning 10, Jim. Just don't outgrow your legendary youthfulness. Here's to a rockin' good time in the next 10 years.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Karen Harnett. She is Executive Director of the NFIB Legal Foundation, National Federation of Independent Business. Karen, tell us about the foundation and give us your website, please.
Oh, yes. Our website is nfib.com/legal. The Legal Foundation has been around for a little over 7.5 years now, and we basically do what NFIB does in the courts. We're the voice for small business in the nation's courts, and we also provide educational materials on legal requirements for small businesses, so that we're the legal resource for small business owners nationwide.
If somebody were having an eminent domain problem, an issue that the local municipality or state or maybe a non incorporated area, if they have a problem like that, could they contact you about this?
Oh, yes, we would love to hear about it. I will say we do not represent individuals, because we just are still growing, but we do and have resource constraints there. But what we do try to do, as in this case with Dr. Dukakis, Trakakis, I'm sorry, is try to, you know, support the small business owner best we can.
Maybe with amicus briefs or something. Maybe like with an amicus brief or something like that.
So
give us
we
that website again.
I'm sorry, what?
The website again.
NFIB.com/legal.
All right. So check that out, folks, and use them to your advantage. They're good folks. Karen, the I think we should remind people that the public, the interpretation of the takings clause is an evolving body of law, isn't it? I mean, it's been evolving over the years. There's nothing in the takings clause that says, you know, what the government can or can't do, except that it has to pay just compensation. And so, but over the years, it's been accepted that the only taking of a property from an individual by any entity of government would be for public use, meaning a highway, a bridge, a railroad, or something like that. Eminent domain, we've always called it. But now it's the Kelo versus New London case really created the opportunity for the public good, meaning commercial development. My commercial development is better than your commercial development, Karen. So if I convince the mayor and the city council that they're going to get more tax revenue from my commercial development, then I can have them take your commercial development.
Yes, unfortunately, Kelo did really almost stand for that proposition in many respects and said that economic development was appropriate, eminent domain for economic development was appropriate in certain circumstances. And that is a real problem from a small business perspective. We think it is completely unconstitutional, and as a result have been fighting since Kelo to scale back that decision in the different states. You know, the latest battleground now is in Missouri, where they are trying to expand the rights for eminent domain to be used under their constitutional limitations. They actually have a pretty strict constitution on this. The legislature can't invoke eminent domain, and unchartered cities and counties cannot invoke eminent domain per their constitution. Yet the city of Arnold, an unchartered city, is trying to do that very thing. And if we prevail, the good news is that this will be a significant blow to those that are really trying to expand the use of eminent domain.
But this
and
is
would
going
be another,
to
another is, success that is post Kelo.
But this is going to the Missouri Supreme Court first.
Correct.
And will the Missouri Supreme Court try to use Kelo as a precedent?
Well, I mean, they're supposed to look to that, right? I mean, it is from a decision from the United States Supreme Court. My hope, though, is that they'll look at their Constitution first, because that really is what they're supposed to be interpreting. And the Missouri Constitution, I think, is really quite clear on this. And even the legislative history surrounding it showed that they really wanted just to limit it for those bigger cities where they're going to have a bigger problem with blighted areas than a smaller community might have. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that the Missouri Supreme Court will, you know, stand by its constitution and the will of its people to really limit the scope of this eminent domain power, because the small business owner and the property owner is always the loser in an eminent domain battle.
It seems like that's the case. Yes, and so, folks, you need to find out, and this is what I said, Karen, back in 05, I said, we all need to find out what is going on in our states. What is happening? If you wanted a reason to call the member of your legislature, call them up and say, okay, where does our state stand on Kelo? Did we pass some laws after Kelo versus New London that strengthened the property rights of individuals or small business owners, or have we, like Missouri, let things kind of you know, languish, and who knows what's going to happen? Thank you, Karen, for standing up for this guy in Missouri. Thank you for standing up for homeowners and small business owners all across the country. This is an assault on our property, isn't it?
It sure is, and I appreciate you being so vocal on this from the very beginning, because small business owners need to stand up. Their property is their biggest asset.
Absolutely. Hey, Karen, thanks for being here. Good job today, and thanks for the good work.
Thank you.
We'll be talking more about this, folks. Don't worry. This is, unfortunately, this is not going to go away. So just stay tuned. quick break. Right back after these messages. It's 29 after.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. Watch for the emotions on a guarded face.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.